Yo, welcome to ADHD. I have a special guest in the house.
All right, cool.
Fucking Prime in the house. Yo, what's up, man?
What up? How you been?
I've been fucking seeing your IG, bro, and it's popping. What the fuck?
It's a little popping, not too crazy.
What's up, dog? I saw you were on a plane and shit.
Oh, well, you know how a while back when I was in the show, I would get prison phone calls and I would have to step out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that was an artist. He came out of jail and now he's an upcoming actor in big films. So we're trying to do some shit.
And what were you doing? What was it? Omaha or was it?
We flew into Nebraska, Omaha, and then we did a show in Iowa, which is like border town.
How is it over there different than LA?
Everybody's impressed easily. And then they treat me like a god over there. The people recognize me.
What?
It was a trip to see even people wearing my shirts from years back. Like people were wearing the Prime Suspects from way back.
That's a trip.
So that was like, wow. Like, sheesh. It inspired me. It opened my eyes to kind of know, like, damn, I'm doing something out here.
How often do you travel?
Well, this is starting April. It's going to be every weekend.
Dang.
For a couple months.
Have you? What was the first time you've been on a plane?
When I was a baby.
So that you don't even remember. Mm-hmm. This is like basically your first adult experience.
Yeah, usually I just drive like to the nearby states and shit.
It's scary, huh? It's scary drive.
I just like.
Because yeah. I didn't get on a plane till I was like 20, 22, 23.
I would prefer to drive, actually.
Yeah.
Because you could do more shit.
Drugs.
No. Drugs. Carry merch.
You could do.
Well, I'm trying to carry merch.
Oh, I see.
Now, I can't really carry that much because we had to fly and all the package and all that shit.
You'd have to FedEx it before you go there.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's just too much work.
I know.
I'd rather, the table, the merch table, the banner, all that shit.
Damn.
So for now, we're flying because Conejo, the artist that I'm working with, his name is Conejo.
Mm-hmm.
He's acting full time and he can't waste time. He can't drive now. He needs to go to the next audition.
Damn.
So he has a big movie coming out this year called The Tax Collector. He's a lead in it. A lead.
Yeah.
He helped with the script and he's lead alongside Shia LaBeouf.
That's fucking dope.
So him and Shia are going at it in the movie.
So what is hard? You like, I remember, I think you had told the story possibly on the show about how you linked up with him. It was through MySpace or something way back when.
Way back when I was fresh out of high school.
Uh-huh.
He was already on the run. I was involved with rap websites before, back then.
Yeah.
Marketing shit. And I used to promote rappers I like. And then he would watch me from afar because he was on the run. He couldn't make contact with nobody.
Damn.
He was on the Fox 11 News. He was on LA Times front page. And so he was wanted for a lot of while being in the run with two strikes.
Fuck.
So he couldn't make contact. And eventually I was doing graphics, fan graphics online on MySpace. Just a rapper, let's say
that's way back then, bro.
Let's say the game, I'm doing a graphic of the game, dope Compton rims and shit. I was just doing just fucking, just fan shit. And I did one for him. And then they reached out to me for a cover, right? Like, how much you want for a cover? And at that time, I had no idea. I just picked up Photoshop a year before that.
Damn.
And I was like, $50. This was like, nah, I'll give you $500. Here, bam. He do my first cover. At that point, I didn't know about Pixel. I did the first cover, right? I did it 500 pixels by 500 pixels.
Oh, no.
Which is a rookie mistake, right? Because it's like a fucking
small
little clip art.
Yep.
So I was like, fuck. So I learned and
did you get pissed or what?
I got pissed, but fuck it. It's a learning experience. No, he didn't.
You didn't care?
Because I had to redo it again.
Oh, shit.
So our relationship started there while he was in a run. And his cousin was the middleman between me and him.
Gotcha.
So I couldn't call him, but he'll call me once in a while from random numbers, burner numbers.
That's great. And you knew who he was, right?
I knew who he was. I used to bump him in high school, which is crazy that. That was my big intro into the music industry and all this shit. So I would do his shit.
Yeah.
I got him hooked up with Interscope. I got him hooked up with certain artists.
I know you had the fucking plug on Interscope.
Well, I knew people here in LA that they were executives. And I basically plugged him up with big websites like WCNN before. That was a big website for music. So I would get him in his blog. I'll get him in the front page.
You never met him either.
I've never met him till last year. So I worked with him for over 15 years. And I never met him till last year.
That's craziness, dude.
It's just crazy because I helped build his whole music little stardom he had. Wow. Like, I helped it.
You're a part of that wave.
I was part of that wave. So he understands that.
Damn.
So time passed. Eventually, we didn't fall apart, but his brother wasn't handling business right. So they fell apart. New management came. I stepped back, whatever, different shit. And then a few years back, he contacted me again, like, what's up, ooh, whatever. He's always liked my shit. He's always watching me from afar.
Yeah.
He liked the brand. He liked that I had different shit. And we were just contemplating about turning himself in for, like, the last 3-4 years. Turn yourself in. Fight the case. We were talking to David Kenner, which is the lawyer.
Yeah.
The big lawyer, the one that did Snoop Dogg. So
we met up with him.
Yeah. We had meetings with him. At the same time, we're talking on the phone with David Ayer, the director, because he's possibly trying to pay for that lawyer.
That's crazy.
So we're doing all this shit, and then David Kenner at that time, he was sick. So we were like, no, I don't know, you should fuck with him. He looks a little money hungry right now. So we were like, and then basically we didn't fuck with him because he looked, I don't know, he looked sick. He didn't look like he was like, I don't know, his nose was weird. I didn't like his vibe. He seemed like maybe like a crack addict or some shit.
Fuck.
So we didn't fuck with him, whatever. Times passed by him. His co-defendant gets busted because there was a case with two of them. And then he gets a DA reject, which means like, dawg, you've been on the run for 15 years for nothing.
What?
Okay, so we're like, bam, he's a DA reject. And then so he's like, fuck, should I turn myself in? And we're thinking about that. And he was frustrated being in the run because he's been away from his family for 15 years.
That's insane, bro.
So eventually, a lot of shit happened in the streets over there in Mexico. He gets the marshals go get him. They go to his house.
Dang.
He lives in like this private fucking residential area. They go in his house and they get him and then they bring him back to the LA County.
Dang.
And that shit made the headlines. It made headlines in newspapers and shit.
So by that time, he was already talking with Dave Ayer to...
This whole time, he's been with David Ayer since Training Day. Cornell was also in Training Day. His brother was also in Training Day.
Oh, okay.
Cornell was supposed to be on End the Watch. He's supposed to be on Street Kings. Because David Ayer and Cornell were raised in the same block, 25th Street in Hoover, which is a USC area. And David Ayer went to USC.
Yeah.
USC. And then he ended up marrying one of Cornell's homegirls. And they had babies. And so David Ayer is very into the Mexican culture. He talks perfect Spanish.
Wow.
With Cornell, they talked only in Spanish.
It's crazy.
So this fool loves... So, Cornejo's been fucking studying martial arts with David Ayer since, like, the 90s. What? Playing Halo and getting high. And so, they have a good relationship.
In case anyone doesn't know, Dave Ayer obviously did Training Day and a bunch of
Bright, Suicide Squad, Fury, and The Watch.
Insane, man.
Now he's one of the
it guys. Fury was on point, too.
Yeah, Fury was on point. Yeah. That's one of the favorite ones. So, fast forward, they bring him to the U.S. So, we're like, fuck, shit. So, we get him, of course, a Jewish lawyer. You know, we get a Jewish lawyer. And the same guy that helped him, his homeboy, his co-defendant with the same case.
Yeah.
He was in the county for like 13 months. He was getting frustrated. They were trying to get him for a few years. He was like, "Not." So, the lawyer was like, no, don't take it. Don't take it. I feel like we could beat this. So, he almost took a few years because he would have some time served. And then they beat it. And he comes out one day, and I get the phone call, and he's out. And I'm like, fuck. Like, I didn't know how to even feel because he's the reason why I design. He's the reason why I have my style. He's the reason why, like, I even have creativity like that.
Right, and that's how – did he blow up Prime Suspects?
He blew up the Prime Suspects. He's the one that let me borrow his logo for my first shirt.
Damn.
He let me borrow his logo.
Dang, so, I just noticed that. That's when I saw the SKM or whatever. I was just, I looked at that and I was like, wait, oh, Prime does his shirts or he, did Prime design, like.
Well, I designed all his logos. So all the logos that he has are all mine. Yeah, I designed all his shit.
Right.
So he let me borrow at that time. So he blew up the Prime Suspects. So that's why I even have a career.
I see.
So he's always been a fair guy to me. And
because that brand has been steady, been coming
It's been
in.
Steady. It's been steady. And for a while, I slowed down, but I'm back on it.
Nice.
Because now I have a platform, bigger platform.
Yeah.
And now I'm able to do tour and sell my merch and tour and push it and see the people because I want to see the people. I want to engage with them.
Yeah.
Because it's very important to kind of build a fan base that way.
Definitely.
So just basically that, he came out, he reached out. Next, you know, a month later, after he came out, David Ayer calls him like, let's go have dinner. So they go have dinner and then he hands him a script. Bam. He was like, this is your movie. So Cornell was thinking, you know, he forgot me a little role, a little cholo number eight, cholo number six on the set.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, it's a quick little in and out.
Yeah.
So as he opens the script, he noted that he's one of the main characters.
What?
Not only that, Cornejo's been talking to David Ayer for years about what his dark past, what he'd been was going through with Mexico, cartel stuff. And so David Ayer incorporated that, those stories, into this new movie called The Tax Collector.
Dang.
So this movie is going to be a lot about Cornejo. He's placed as Cornejo. He plays the same gang he's from. He's also in that movie. And so it has a lot of Cornejo influence on
that. And then what role does Shia LaBeouf play?
Shia LaBeouf plays a gangster white homie that taxes neighborhoods. So they go on and collect taxes. And then Cornejo is the guy that's coming back from Mexico to L.A.
Yeah.
Okay. And trying to gain back the power.
So is he playing kind of like the Miklo character where he's like...
Yeah, quiet, but it's way more serious. It's more... it's not as East L.A.-ish. No diss to East L.A. because...
Yeah.
But that's the old shit.
But it's like being like the white boy who's like...
Yeah, honestly, like...
the güero of the... You know,
yeah, it's more serious. He's more... Because Cornejo's manager, he's a white homie. He's Russian. He's our manager and aka the security guard. He's like 6'5". 6'5" could break your neck.
It's insane.
So he's also a homie. So he taught Shia his mannerisms. Don't overdo it. Don't talk like that. We don't talk old school like hey vato, all that weird shit.
Yeah.
So he kind of Shia studied him. Shia got tattooed with. Not only that, Shia, he got the homie's neighborhood on his belly.
For real?
So he's now an honorary member of that hood, and they show him love.
Damn. And Shia, but not even on some, like, fake rub-off tattoo shit.
He got the hood and some other things I can't speak on because I don't want to get him in trouble.
Yeah, wow.
And Shia loves Cornejo. I just seen in just a YouTube video that I put out with Shia and Cornejo's first show. I mean, Cornejo's first show and Shia
shows up.
He fucking bum rushes the stage and he's just like, he loves Cornejo. He just loves him.
You saw him that one time he was like freestyling?
I saw him, yeah.
Yeah.
On the radio.
So right. Is that fool like, so is he like trying to like be a rapper too or not?
Shia.
Or he's just an artist, right?
Shia's a full on, what I've noticed, he's a full on artist. Outside the set, he's the same way. He's very into his role.
Fuck.
He doesn't snap out of it.
Yeah,
I watch him and I'm like, is he on a roll right now or not? But that's, you know, he's a genius for that.
Yeah, that's
insane. And he shows love, man. He just shows love with Cornejo. He's trying because he has his own production company.
Yeah,
so he's trying to create stuff with Cornejo, some shit too as well. They're in the works. They got one deal, which it's not happening yet, but
yeah,
it's gonna happen soon.
Works. Yeah.
Some shit.
Let's talk about the podcast because you've been blowing up. We've been blowing each other up for a few. If you haven't checked out the Rebel Talk Network feed.
Yes.
And Prime Suspects and everything. They're all coming together. Cornejo put up a post and, you know, our stories are popping.
All right. So let's say how it all happened. I came to you because I think I wanted to get on Joe Rogan, right? I wanted to get Cornejo on Joe Rogan because he's a very interesting. He's a martial artist, black belt. He's a... studies a different religion. Yeah, so he's a very interesting guy.
That
was the whole idea. And then you told me, like, if you go, make sure you have something to promote besides the music.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, that is true. Like, if you are going to get exposed to millions of people, might as well have something that his fans could like. Yeah. Obviously, the music is very, not everybody likes rap. Not everybody likes gangster rap. So
yeah,
it's more like limiting. So I saw that. So you gave me the idea of doing a podcast. And I was like, wow, cool, that's perfect. And I kind of, basically, you started talking about it.
Well, more specifically, like, making it a documentary, audio documentary about him.
Stories and...
So that's what's going to be insane. Because there's going to come a time where we got to call the connects to get him on Rogan, and we can get him. We can make sure that happens in some way. I know Brian Redband, who used to be his producer, and I can put in a call. And I know Jonathan, who's at the office here, he gets Jim Norton on all the time. So, you know, we can put in a phone call for sure. But when this shit pops, it's going to be like, it's going to be something else, man.
It's going to be dope. It's going to be poetic. It's going to be real. It's going to be unfiltered.
Yeah.
And he has a story to tell. And it's not a basic ass story. It's not like, oh, I've been to jail one time. Or like, oh, nah, it's some deep, deep shit. And he's an LA legend.
Yeah.
He's an LA legend. Culturally, he's a cultural legend.
That's dope.
People probably not might get that, but he's a very street cultural legend where neighborhoods are don't even like his neighborhood, like they love him.
They show him love.
He's different. He was in the county as a fucking star in there in the county.
Damn. And that, I mean, speaking of which, that you know, you're doing you're still doing the Dash radio stuff.
I'm still doing the Dash radio.
Marissa,
yes.
How's that going?
I was going good. We already got an ad money, so that's a good sign.
That is really good.
It's a really good sign.
So I saw like you did this whole photo shoot with her on your stories and stuff. How did that go down?
A little Kim post?
Yeah.
She's just like, oh, they have a photo shoot. And I'm like, fuck it. And that's it.
And then you guys rented that spot or whatever?
Rented the spot and she brought some furs and shit. And she's just like, fuck it, let me do that little Kim post.
Yeah.
And then fuck that shit. That shit went viral low key because big people like Ebro in the Morning from Apple, he fucking commented on it. A few artists commented on it. Yeah. Marissa Mendez, she used to work with Joe Budden, which is the Joe Budden podcast, which is one of the top podcasts
right now. One of the biggest ones out there.
And she started with him. She's actually doing a lawsuit right now against Spotify.
Oh.
Because they uploaded 100 of her episodes and then didn't break her off.
Dang. Yeah, Spotify is the new, it's a new player. They're a new player now, man.
So she's trying to like do it amicably. She reached out to her friend, which works at Spotify. So they're trying to figure it out like without being dirty.
That's a good
idea. Marissa works for XXL as well.
Okay.
So she's very, she knows.
She's connected.
Name every rapper, then she hangs out
with them.
Drake, Diddy.
Right, yeah.
She worked at Revolt, too, for a little bit.
Oh, Revolt, yeah.
And eventually they went bankrupt or some shit.
They did.
Well, did is stingy as fuck, so.
Yeah, they didn't want to give them budgets, I hear.
So I worked that once a week for 2 hours, record.
Yeah.
To help with the sound effects and the video.
Yeah, I noticed that. So, what's her show about?
Her show is about woman empowerment, but free, sexually free. She's not like a woman empowerment, like one of those, oh, man, like, nah, she's very sexual. Sexually, she's free.
Okay.
She fucks who she wants.
Yeah.
Not.
Like women and shit, too?
Well, she does three ways. She does three ways. She does three with with rappers, big, iconic rappers. But she doesn't put them on blast, but she just tells, I got flown out.
Yeah.
I went to Chicago with threesome with this person. Sure. She didn't say who, but. She'll say, oh, yeah, I had a threesome. Yeah, this is what happened. I got nut in my face and yada, yada. Explicitly, I ate this guy's ass last weekend.
Dang.
Big artist. Some people that I've admired, I'm like, I don't know if I could look at you the same. People that I admire, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, crazy. But she doesn't put nobody on blast. She's very responsible with that.
That is dumb.
And she's a sexually free person.
Yeah.
And I respect that a lot because she fucks what she wants to fuck.
Yeah.
She doesn't fuck you. Well, let me fuck. Nah. She's like, nah. If she likes you, she'll fuck you.
Yeah.
If she wants to fuck.
Yeah.
And Amber Rose, we had Amber Rose. It's one of the bigger episodes. And I feel like every time Amber Rose was there, we got like money. And that's one of her really good friends.
Yeah. Amber Rose has a way of carrying herself where like this. It's interesting. She's like, she knows how to make money.
And she's really cool, man.
She's chill as
fuck. Saw down. She fucking gave me, she was like, when we were going through my phone, was pictures. She was hugging me up. Like, it's like a regular homegirl.
Yeah.
She's not like one of those bougie shit.
Yeah.
So definitely. I've already loved her. And now after meeting her and her being like acknowledging my work and the podcast, she was like, man, you're dope.
A few years back, I got to meet her and work with her at the Slut Walk.
Yeah. Me too.
Well, Bonnie Rotten was. Were you? No, you weren't there.
No, I saw Bonnie Rotten. There's something on Netflix recently, right?
Oh, yeah.
I saw she had like a little episode.
Dang. You don't even know. I'm sad about that.
Why? You had to get a cut?
It's a long story, but I had a lot of footage from.
Dang.
I had a lot of footage that wasn't used, but basically same coverage from that night, that exact night that they kind of go back to at her winning the awards and at the award show I had. And they went into her dressing room and I was like literally there. All the footage we have is just sitting on a hard drive. And we could have sold it to them and we could have did some sort of deal, but. We weren't in the Louvre. And I saw that shit. I swear, bro.
I saw 2 months ago. I saw it.
I saw, the icon came up and it was her. My fucking heart sank. I already knew. Damn. I was like, oh, so I just, no bullshit. I was like, it was like 2 a.m. I fast forwarded to her part because it's at the end.
And it broke
and
your
I
heart,
saw,
man.
I saw the fucking footage and I was just like, you know what? That's fucking crazy, dude. And I hit up my homie and said, if you still had the footage, like, I'm like, hey, like, what, you still have it? And he's like, yeah, I have it. And I'm like, what do you want to do with it? Because we got to, because you want to, he's like, he's thinking about, well, we should approach her to make a documentary. And I'm like, yeah, but it needs to be out now. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it broke my heart a little bit. But when Bonnie was, we're filming with her, she was in with Amber Rose and she was pregnant at the time.
Oh, yeah, she was. I remember.
Yeah. Not, well, yeah, not Amber Rose,
go,
but.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that, yeah. You did go to the early ones too, right? Yeah. The first one?
It was like, maybe the first one.
I think
first
it was the
one.
First one.
First
in LA. I think it was the,
yeah,
first LA.
Oh,
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe
it was the first LA. Yeah, it was.
And she got, yeah, like, I remember that, and, I remember, she goes, they had to hide into this, like, before they went on stage, she hid in the salon, like, so nobody knows where she was
sick
at.
Throwback.
And I was just like, what the fuck? And Bonnie's like, we're at this location. And I went and as soon as I walked in, I had a camera in my hand because that's what we're doing, right? Yeah. And my homeboy came up with me and this fucking security, big motherfucker came up to me and was like, hey, what the fuck? You can't fucking film in here. What the fuck? And then Bonnie, like, she's talking to Amber. I'm like, hey. They're like literally kicking me out. I'm like, Bonnie, hey, we're getting kicked out. She's like, no, they're with us. And she's like, no, it's cool. And then that's when I met her. I had went over there and she like shook my hand. And that was it. I was just like, oh, well, whatever. And yeah, you're right. She's like very kind of like, if she likes you, she'll be like,
nah, she's really
she'll
cool.
be chill. We're like, yeah, because we're waiting for them backstage. And I felt like somebody
and
like
that. One, it was what, Hollywood Boulevard?
It was in downtown. It was like near Union something, like not Union Station, but like it was
nowadays
near.
It's on a Pershing Square. So she fucking
it's Pershing Square.
Now, oh, still? Oh, it was.
That's actually that's where I was at. Now I'm thinking, I was like, no.
When
no.
I went, I think like 2 years ago. She was dating 21 Savage. Yeah,
I think that's when I went to. I can't remember.
I took Flay with 21 Savage and
oh, that's right. You did have that. I think. All right. So I did the year before that.
I did the year before that. And then Kehlani was there. And, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so wild. It's a wild ass show.
I was trying to get a shot and I was like looking because Bonnie was out there talking. Yeah. So I had the shot like from the back, whatever. And you know, she was talking, whatever. And then I remember just like chilling. I felt somebody like lean up on me and then I was like, what the fuck? And I looked up and it was her and I was like, oh shit. And she goes, oh, I hope I'm not bothering you. And I'm like, no, it's just whatever. She was talking to one of her homegirls and she was like leaning on me. And I was just like, all right, okay.
Dope.
I was like, all right. Like, so then I was just like low key, just like, all right, I see you, Amber. Like, damn. Like, you know what I mean? She
really real, like a real ass person.
She's dope. You
know? I saw him like, damn, man. Like, I loved you before, but now I was just like, man, like you're a real ass bitch.
That's hell, yeah.
She's a real ass person.
I agree, man. That's dope. Anything else? What else do you have fucking going down?
So right now, I'm relaunching the Prime Suspects.
Oh, shit.
With a different direction.
Yeah.
And just working with Conejo right now. We're just on tour. We're going to be on tour literally every week.
Are you still doing graphics for people and stuff like that?
That's an ongoing thing.
A side hustle.
With Conejo, I'm doing graphics with him. I do all his marketing. I do his poster shit. Mm-hmm. I do his clips for promoting shows, right. So he does take care of me, all expenses paid, and so far the tour with Nebraska was in a good fucking good hotel, good service.
Okay,
it was an organic, eco friendly hotel, nothing but businessmen, but us, we were there just like on some gangster shit. we got treated like gods over there, man. I appreciate everybody from Nebraska and Iowa and Kansas.
How packed was it?
It was 300 people.
300
in
people
in a small market, yeah. It was a small little market, and the club was like, man, you guys got to come back, because we sold them so much liquor that night.
I bet.
Yeah, it was the white boy owned, and they were like, man, they were taking flicks with Conejo. They were like, man. And he performs very well, though. He performs very well, and then people love him, man.
Like, dude, I saw that Instagram pic of you right behind him.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fire. He's just fucking going. Yeah. I was like, damn.
It's just basically me and him and his manager. That's it. You know, the manager's like manager slash security in case anybody gets too close.
That's insane.
But it's just us.
You guys have like, so you got, when you guys got flown out, you just like just took a car. There's no like bus or anything.
We had somebody waiting for us. So remember, we're street. So we had to connect with the locals.
Yeah.
So like even with Chicago, we have some Latin Kings are going to escort us
what?
In and out the building. We're Dog, we're some political shit here.
What the fuck? So, yeah. Wait, when you go to Chicago?
We're going in April.
Okay, good.
April, I'm going to Chicago. I'm going to...
Have you ever been to Chicago?
No.
It's bad.
April's a lot. We got New York, April. We got...
Chicago's dope.
Chicago's Salt Lake City.
Oh, shit, okay.
Ventura. You should come to the Ventura show.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Get to him, bro. That's going to be the... Where he takes over the Latin scene. Damn. Because he's a headliner, and under him is people that are, they think they're bigger than him.
Dang.
Like Kid Frost, yeah.
I thought he had like some problems.
But he's like the opening headliner. Dang. He's like one of the openers.
It's for a lot of
people. People are upset though. They're upset. They're like, why is he headlining? I'm like, bro, because he could pull in the crowd.
Yeah. You can sell tickets as well. You sell tickets.
And for him, it's like a 15-year, like,
and you know what? And all the people who, because like I reposted, I regrammed something from Cornell. I got a lot of followers, like maybe like a solid 10, 15.
Yeah.
So people are. Because
the people are already hawking his shit. Like, what is his next move? Now he has a show with Fox that he's filming right now in ATL.
Right.
I was going to hit up Randy. What's his name? Randy?
Oh, Puga.
Puga, to kind of give him a little tour.
That's true. Honestly, that's the first thing I thought too. I was like,
Shit. Like, he's a really cool cat.
Dude, and Randy's listening maybe, right now.
I'll hit him up. Hit me up. I'll tell him to quote.
Hit you up.
He's a professional ass fool.
Yeah, I was about to say you could put him up in that fucking...
teach him around what's all in the ATL.
That'd be dope,
you know? Dude. They're both in Hollywood, so might as well connect.
Yeah, that's not a bad connect right there, dude. Fuck, man. So basically,
what I'm doing, this is a new year for me, dog. This is a different energy for me. Yeah. I feel the energy. It's different. Yeah. And I'm just trying to take advantage. That's why I'm here with you, because I feel like you were the perfect person to get us to Joe Rogan, and you came up with a better idea.
Yeah, let's fucking build an empire. Really,
like, let's build a podcast would be the first in this.
Because once you get put on by Rogan, that's it. You're touched. Yeah. You're blessed.
And it's true. Like, why go to promote music or movies?
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to get money off that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone knows that if you have a distributing deal, the distributing deal gets all the money.
Yeah.
You get the live, he gets the live shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, I could probably bump up your YouTube numbers, but if you own something, like, this is mine, no one fuck with me.
And
this
stories is universal. People like stories. Exactly, music is cool, right? But I think stories go beyond fucking race, beyond everything.
And we're going to be doing it different than anyone.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be doing it mad different. This
It has to be. Like, I have faith in you. Like, I know what to do. And I know, like, even with our own ADHD stuff, my story, like, I was impressed with that.
That was fun, right?
A lot of people still fucking be like, oh, that's just dope.
I know.
So I know what you're going to do when it comes to, like, some bigger shit.
Yeah.
Bigger,
serious, deeper, though. Serious. Not shit. Even. Because I was on some comedy shit. And
but even then, like, even the work you put on that, like, details. Yeah. Like, okay, cool.
Nah, we're going to do some storytelling documentary shit.
And it's dope because, like, honestly, like, it's dope because we're going to get another Mexican homie paid, which is you.
Yeah.
And
keeping it Latino.
He's keeping it like that right now. It's cool, you know, we're working with everybody, but it's cool to have professionals that are Latino and are able to come together. That's people that are fully professionals.
That's and not, real shit. You know,
I feel like you were the perfect person for that.
Yeah, man. I'm stoked because I definitely know what he's trying to go for, having just been, you know, involved in my own, like story to tell, and like seeing how important that these Latino stories, they want, like, you got to
represent.
Right now
it's hot. Right now it's hot.
Represent it,
right now it's hot. I feel like right now it's like going through some weird transition. Different, like, Latino shit is popping out there.
I agree, dude. And
the fan base is there. At the end of the day, fuck Hollywood. The fan base for whatever we're doing is going to be there.
Dude, because Latinos are really cool. The crazy part about it right now, it's basically, you know, when they freed the slaves, they had more slaves than slave owners.
Yeah.
And there was a moment where they, like, all it would take was someone to organize, and they could have, before what's his name, Abraham Lincoln set them free, if they organized right and they did it right, they could have took over already, but they couldn't. I'm not saying that what Kanye West said was right. It was a frame. It was a choice. You know what I mean?
I understood what he was trying to say, though.
Yeah.
And I predicted this movement.
Oh, like,
10 years ago. Because the whole immigration thing in the 80s, we're seeing it now. Like, the kids are, like, in my family, most of the people are college graduates.
Right.
So we're seeing a change of progression.
educated,
educated and progression, and even like artists, business people, and
dude, I got and I got to introduce you to my homie too. His name's Alex. He's in. He's a VC, venture capital, mm-hmm. right? So he raises money for people. He exclusively goes and fucking picks out women and Latinos to like invest into. He took his business partner to Mexico to work on deals.
Nice.
And his fucking business partner is, he's not Mexican. He's like, he's probably like European or something. Mm. And he's like, this is the first time I ever went to Mexico on a business trip. And he introduced him to all his Latino plugs and like families. We're talking generation, like wealthy families. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? We're like old money, you know? And he introduced them to all their families, and they since they're tight-knit.
The Lebanese is in Mexico City.
Yeah. They went to Monterrey. They went to and Mexico City, I think, too. So they went to those two, and they fucking – no one – it's like it's an untapped resource in big – you know, and it's cool to see, honestly – it's cool to see fucking the Latinos winning fucking Oscars.
Oh, and then Netflix announced doing a headquarters in Mexico City.
See, that's dope.
And my homie just got picked up for the third and fourth season of Mexico Narcos.
What?
Yeah, Bobby Soto.
I also have a friend of mine. Big ups to fucking Brian Donut, Marvin Bryan. So he's the homie, and I went to school with this fool, and he. He's a very talented director, always had like a fucking good frame of mind for like funny shit. He's a funny dude himself. He ended up getting a deal with Netflix to do this show with America Ferrera called Gentified.
Oh, shit.
And that's for coming out on Netflix. So like a lot of people seeing all that shit, seeing Alexandria Cortez.
Yeah, the politician. Yeah,
the politician. She's like, you know what I mean? Seeing that shit.
We're buzzing right now. We're buzzing, dude, bro.
And I'm stoked to see what's going on because it's really changing.
I will tell people though, like the people that don't speak Spanish, like they are limiting themselves because my homeboy he's getting a lot of roles because his Spanish is really good.
Yeah,
and is convincing.
The whole shift is happening, and because like before, you know, just my grandfather growing up was like really big on like English only, you know, you only speak English at the table and wanted to Americanize everybody because that's what we needed to learn, you know?
Like not to be fucked up, but you know what I think set us back?
What's that?
The whole Chicano label.
Oh, for real?
I think so.
Okay. Why you say that?
Because that creates a separation like between Mexicans and Chicanos.
You're right.
You don't see that with Italians. They're Italian American.
Yeah.
Just like my kids are gonna be Mexican American.
Yeah.
And everybody that I hang around, they don't consider themselves Chicanos, even though they're born here. They say they're Mexican American.
That makes sense.
Because what's this word? Like what the fuck? Like
it's an old word.
Like we're defined by some lowriders. Like, hell no.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like honestly, this whole Narcos cartel shit is making that cool now. Like to be Mexican, which is fucked up because it took that right. But now you see it like. All that whole Loretta shit, that's kind of corny.
Did you see Roma? Did you see that?
I saw Roma, yeah. It's a great movie.
Yeah, right?
It's a beautiful movie. Like, it was just like, some people say it was boring, but it's because they're basic.
Yeah.
Somebody that I'm a creative, so I'm able to see like the beauty behind what they did.
Compositions.
And composition.
Stuff, yeah. The ending was kind of like
the feeling.
The ending could have been better, but like everything else, I was like, damn. Because telling the story the way they told it.
It was a unique story because like even us, like I'm coming from Guadalajara. And we also have Indian people working for us in Mexico, right?
Yeah.
My grandma, she's blonde, and my grandpa, they're all blonde and colored eyes. And so it was a dope, because that does happen, you know, like where people do, like they hire the natives, the ones that are more native. Uh-huh. Because my family, we're come from my great, they're Spaniard. So we come from that. So, it was dope to give the different layers of Mexican people. Now, not only like whitewash telenovela shit, but to give it a good, like, make somebody a hero.
Represent,
that was,
man. They represent
dark,
right.
Dark and with Indian features. And
To me,
the scene that got to me was a baby scene. And the way they shot it, though.
No.
And the way they shot it. They shot her like, me as a video guy, I'm like, damn, they shot it beautifully. Like, the way they shot it, just captured the emotion.
It was an intense scene, man. It was and the story is a really, really nice story. It's a really crazy story. I fucking thought it was great, and it's making me, and I think it's, and I hope it does for other Latinos too. Growing up right now, it makes them have a sense of pride, because the whole English only thing that my grandpa was just a way to.
But I understood that though, because it was a survival tactic
at the time. At the time, yes. And that's what, you know, I don't know Spanish that well because it was just like they wanted to Americanize and blend in, you know. And now it seems that since this whole,
like, know, unapologetically, like.
Yeah. People, you can just, right now, you can just be you. And I know in this crazy quote unquote white world, and not have to worry about that are ashamed of your heritage anymore. You know, I think that's coming to fruit.
That's what I like about the other podcast you had with Cheese, that you're going back, like to kind of even to get that feeling. And that's very important if you're a creative.
Yeah.
That's very important. Because if you don't know yourself, what are you doing? Like, yeah. Like, I understand that you're here and you're American. It's dope. I love that. Yeah. We're a multi-pot. Yeah. But what's your identity? You need an identity. Exactly. Like, you need you need things in your past that are going to make you look towards the future.
And there's a lot of people who are creative, but they just don't get the voice. They don't get the opportunity. They don't get the platform. They don't have anything because they're just
size. They don't stand out.
Like, no bullshit, dude. Like, I walked through a fucking, and this happened a few months ago. I walked through like a Ralph's. I'm wearing like a black shirt and like fucking pants or whatever. And someone would just come up to me and say, excuse me, can you tell me where the fuck? I'm like, yo, I don't work here. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And I try not to be fucking an asshole about it, but it's usually white people. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't work here. And they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, that's fine. Or sometimes, like, you know, you get that. You know what I mean? Because that's what they expect. And that's okay. Because
that doesn't bother me, honestly, man, because I know what we do here. I know, like, not all of us is like that. Everybody has different stories.
That's true.
Like for my family, we didn't go through the struggles of being maids. And there's not a single maid in my family.
Of course.
There's people don't cut grass in my family.
Yeah.
Everybody's educated. Everybody has a homeowner. Businesses. So for me, it doesn't bother me. I know some people get like sensitive about it, but to me, like,
it's
not whatever.
Sensitive. It's just that, you know, especially coming from a white person, you're just like, is that all you see us as, kind of thing?
Well, I feel like everybody is just like, I see why people are crazy. Like, when they're quiet, I think they're crazy. Yeah. When it's black people, everybody has stereotypes.
I agree.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And when I'm walking down the street, there's a black person with a hoodie, I am going to feel like a little bit like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah.
Regardless, it's just things that everybody kind of like has in her mind. Just, I don't know. I don't let it bother me though.
That's good. It doesn't bother me, but like that kind of thinking, I think of that.
You know what puts everything into perspective with me? Like, people that are like, let's say, cleaning houses in LA.
Yeah.
They're living better than people in the Midwest.
Right.
Than people, the white people are living in the Midwest. They're living way better. Yeah. They're living in LA.
Yeah.
They have better things. They have better schools.
Yeah.
And they have a way better lifestyle than people in the Midwest.
Yeah, I agree.
So I also kind of like, all right, cool. People talk shit, but even these people right here, they are like mechanic. They're living way better than people are living in the Midwest.
Right. Yeah.
And most of the country. Which I'm like, yeah. But
yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like we just got to keep it moving.
Well, we are, man. And that feels good to kind of be in this position right now, putting yourself in a place to strike, because that's what we're both doing right now. We're putting ourselves in a position, and with something that we feel familiar with. Like, I'm excited to tell Gnejo's story. I'm excited to kind of really start, like, you know, bringing these stories to the forefront and bringing them to new listeners, because no one's going to know.
Yeah.
No one's going to see this coming, bro. No one's going to see this shit coming, for sure. And that's one thing I'm fucking excited for.
It's going to be different. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very cinematic, but audio. It's going to be dope. Because he's a poet. So you're going to hear it, all his stories told with emotion, with a purpose. Not just like him glorifying a lifestyle. You know? You okay, Ernie? That fine. GDP.
Woo, jeez. I'm excited because, like you said, it's when it becomes something that's a little bit more closer to home. It's like you want to make sure that people like that are like celebrated. and cultures like that are shown. You know what I mean? So it's
and also not to be weird, but I feel like meeting you, like even though I stepped back from ADHD,
yeah.
I told you that we're gonna work together again.
Of course.
Like I had to keep that door open.
Dude, you know what? You got a lot from this knowledge and this shit that we've done, and I'm fucking...
Well, that got me to Dash, so now, like, I'm making money on Dash.
Yeah.
And, like, I look like an expert over there.
Nice.
So, I always told you, like, I'm gonna come back, we're gonna do something.
Yeah.
And the opportunity was there, and I'm like... So in the beginning, I was just thinking Joe Rogan, whatever. But then you kind of expanded my mind to be like,
yeah,
and also, like, damn, a podcast, why not?
It all started with Joe Coy, man. yeah, right. Joe Coy and Michael Yo.
Yeah.
So it's crazy how far this shit just comes. Like if I never got out there, this opportunity wouldn't have been out. You know,
like, I don't know, it sounds weird, but like my whole life everything's been timely at the right moment.
Yeah. Definitely.
Even like jail stuff, like at the right moment I got out.
Because imagine.
Everything at the right moment. Like, if I was able to speak on like details of my case, even at the right moment, like the right moment. Shit. A minute later, it'd been a whole different chain.
Yeah, it's real shit.
So I just feel like.
You learn those lessons and you
want to. Like, it's destiny, man. Like, we talked about this day 15 years ago.
And when the last thing I'll kind of speak on, because we went a little over, I want to say is that it's having that right attitude, bro.
Yeah.
You got the right attitude. Like people over there who are growing up right now, if they get a chance to listen to this, you have to have the right attitude. When you said straight up, when you approached me via that email, you were humble. You said, hey, I just, you know, I can intern for you. We can do whatever the fuck it's going to be. And it wasn't on some, like, I'm doing big things type shit. It was on some, like, can I learn from you?
Exactly.
And you worked at it. And that's the one thing that was crazy. Because, like, I saw you and you always, every single step of the way that we worked together, you always made good on your deal.
Yeah.
So I don't think people out there, and you're working for free, you're fucking figuring out, you have a fucking family to also care for and you've been doing your dad duties and you've been handling business, but on the same time you're a man of your word, and you just, like, people have the wrong attitude. If you had a shit attitude, none of this would have came to you.
Yeah, of course.
You should have said Gonel would have approached you and you would have been like, fuck that, you ain't paying me, fuck you.
A lot of people most people will do that.
I know.
Oh, you ain't paying me, I don't have time to my ways. Like, oh,
that's
sometimes
what
you gotta wait. Sometimes you gotta, your time is the investment.
I agree.
And I feel like when I came at you, like, I just wanted to learn, bro. Yeah. I just wanted a door in to see. Because I knew myself. I knew my limits.
Right.
So I just knew that once I get to see, I'll be able to figure out what I got to do.
Yeah, definitely.
And I feel like now it's coming full circle because we're all content creators. And I feel like now we have content.
And now
with a story.
Now a platform.
Not only is like something that we could relate to.
Yeah.
Something that's going to be trailblazing. It is going to be trailblazing. Best believe it. Because he has a fan base.
Yeah.
A strong fan base.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is it. I feel like this is the energy that I'm trying to be around with trailblazing shit. I'm not here for like myself to be successful myself. Nah.
Yeah.
Honestly, bro, like I'm here to inspire. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm here to inspire my people.
Yo.
Like, I know it sounds crazy, and everybody's always like, oh, I want to come. Like, I want to come up too, but I also want to come up with other creators.
Hell yeah.
I want to like give opportunity to other people.
Definitely.
Because I want to be involved with their shit. Because if they're dope, I want to be involved with it. It was good.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like what I'm here for. To create opportunities for other people.
Yeah. And I'm stoked, man. I'm stoked to just be on the fucking ride. You know what I mean?
It's going to be dope, dog. Well, you know, your skills. So it's like, we need somebody like that. Definitely. I don't want some cheap ass podcast sounding shit.
Yeah.
Like, I know that you were always detailed about the sound.
Yeah.
And all the temperature of the room and all this shit. And I'm like, nigga, shut up. But I know you do it for a purpose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. That's why I feel like
it's dope.
It's meant to be.
Yeah. So all that shit to get to this fork in the road. And it looks pretty bright right now, you know?
It's pretty bright.
Some good shit, man. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Find me at PrimeGod87.
Follow this fool.
You find me, you find everything else.
Yeah, Prime Suspects popping too.
Prime Suspects, you could go check it out right now. It's open. I reduced the items because I'm coming with some new shit.
Shit.
This Sunday already. Dang. Because I gotta take advantage of the situation, you know.
So Sunday, on tour, you're dropping new shit yeah. Sunday. So
I haven't designed it yet. I haven't even designed it yet. But that's how confident I am. Shit. That's how confident I am. I'm gonna get it done.
New shit on Sunday, exclusive here. You heard it here on ADHD first. Go to primesuspects.net. Soon it'll be .com.
Well, send me a DM and I'll send you a promo code.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? Work for that shit.
All right, y'all. See you later.